It is time for your daily Bible question, and this will test your Bible knowledge. I'm going to ask a question about Jesus when he fed the 5,000. If you'll remember that story, Andrew brought a lad to him that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now that was certain kind of loaves. What was the loaves of bread made of? What kind of grain did they use to grind into flour and to make those loaves of bread? Do you remember that? If you do, then you are an excellent Bible student. Well, we'll see if you get it right. Go ahead and put it in your head what you think the answer was, and we'll answer it in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, what were the loaves of bread? What grain was used to make those loaves of bread? Well, the answer is in the Bible. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 9. Andrew says this to Jesus: "There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many?" So the bread was made of barley. You know, wheat was the superior grain, and most of our bread is made out of wheat. But when the wheat was getting scarce, as it would have been at this time of year, and also if you could not afford the wheat, you could afford the barley, because the barley was a cheaper grain. And this lad coming didn't have access, evidently, to the wheat. Whoever made his loaves of bread made them out of the lesser grain, the barley grain. And it was this lesser grain then that Jesus that made the bread and the loaves of the lesser grain that Jesus divided among the 5,000 at that day, the barley loaves. Let me read this, and we'll get to our Sunday school lesson, but let me read John chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. The notes I'm going to read now are from E.A. Elam that he wrote as Sunday school notes for the Sundays of January the 31st, 1926. And talking about verse 11, where it says Jesus divided the loaves and the fishes, this done, Jesus took the loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven as the source of all blessings, he gave thanks, and then broke the loaves and distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples distributed them to the multitudes, and likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. Now we read that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven in Matthew 14, in verse 19, in his account of this miracle. "Thus Jesus gave thanks when he fed the 4,000 men, besides women and children, with 7 loaves and a few fishes. So Paul gave thanks in the fast, after the fast, in the ship at sea in Acts 27. Well, Jesus, who could magnify the few loaves and the small fishes until they fed thousands of people, first gave God thanks for them. So should not we, in our helplessness and dependence upon God, offer thanks for the great abundance with which he blesses us? God does not ignore means and human effort in blessing men. Jesus could have called down bread from heaven and had the angels serve it to the multitudes, but here are the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and the disciples, and he used them all. Let the 5 loaves and 2 fishes which we have to be offered to God, and he will take them and do the rest. Then we read John 6, verses 12 through 14. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over to them that had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, "This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." All the hungry multitudes ate as much as they would and were filled. Jesus directed the disciples to gather up the broken pieces that remain, assigning as the reason that nothing be lost. God teaches economy in nature, and all through the Bible, Jesus could magnify loaves and fishes again. He could make bread of stones, yet God wastes nothing, and he teaches us to follow his example. These broken pieces will do good for food on other occasions. There's nothing wasted which does not bring a corresponding want after a while. Wastefulness is sin. After all had eaten, there were 12 baskets full left. Jesus not only gave here an object lesson in economy, but by this amount he showed that this was a miracle beyond all doubt. All present recognized it and said, "This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." They were all expecting such a prophet, and some wanted to make Jesus a king. They misconceived the mission of Christ and the nature of his kingdom. All, not accepting the apostles, thought he would reign as a temporal political king on earth. This miracle wrought the multitudes up to the highest pitch, so they desired to crown him and proclaim him king at once. That meant, too, that they would follow him and fight with carnal weapons to sustain his kingdom. Therefore, John 6:15 says, "Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains to himself alone." Matthew 14:23 says he went to pray, and there he spent most of the night. To this place of solitude and prayer he had started that morning, but he'd been interrupted by those multitudes. You know, sometime there's a theory about Jesus that Jesus had come to establish his kingdom, but he wasn't able to do it because the people were not willing to follow him. And so he postponed his plans to establish his kingdom and just established his church instead, and that he will come back and try to establish his kingdom later. Well, this story of the feeding of the 4,000 puts the lie to that theory, because they were willing to follow him, and he did not want them to do that. The kingdom Jesus came to establish was spiritual, not an earthly kingdom, and he did establish that spiritual kingdom, and he didn't establish the church instead of that kingdom. The church is that kingdom. Now, before the Sunday school lesson closed, there's a little poem right here at the back. I don't know who wrote it. It simply says, "Selected." But let me read this to you. It is so sweet to know, when we are tired, when the hand of pain lies on our hearts, and when we look in vain for human comfort, that the heart divine still understands these cares, both yours and mine. Not only understands, but day by day lives with us while we tread the earthly way, bears with us all our weariness, and feels the shadow of the faintest cloud that steals away our sunshine, ever learns again the depth and bitterness of human pain. There is no sorrow that he will not share, no cross, no burden for our heart to bear without his help, no care of ours too small to cast on Jesus. Let us tell him all, lay at his feet the story of our woes, and in his sympathy find sweet repose. On the next page, we find a Sunday school lesson, the notes of which E.A. Elam put together for the Sunday schools of February the 7th, 1926, and is about the time when Jesus heals and saves a blind man. Let me read the lesson text to you. John 9, verses 1 through 9. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read John chapter 9, and instead of the text doesn't cover the whole story, let me just start reading in John chapter 9, and we'll read most of this story. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as he passed by, he saw a blind man from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed his eyes with the clay and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went away, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they that saw him aforetime, that he was a beggar, said, Is not this he that said and begged? Others said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He said, I am he. They said, therefore, unto him, How then were thine eyes open? He answered, The man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, Where is he? He said, Well, I know not. John 9 and verse 13. They bring to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some thereof of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. They say therefore to the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, in that he opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. The Jews therefore did not believe concerning him, that he that had been born blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received his sight, and they asked him, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now seeth, we know not, or who opened his eyes, we know not. Ask him, he is of age, he shall speak for himself. These things said his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man should confess him to be the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they called a second time the man that was blind and said to him, Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, Whether he's a sinner, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said therefore unto him, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered and said, I told ye even now, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Would ye also become his disciples? And they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as this man, we know not whence he is. We're going to continue this in our next class.